come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, as we get into your word, Father, I just pray, God, that you would make us very aware of your presence right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here and amongst us, and Lord, that you're the one that we learn from. You are the teacher. No matter what we have going on in our life, no matter what person is standing up here, Lord, that you are our teacher. We come, Lord, with hearts that are open to hear what you have to say. And Lord, we pray for our nation right now. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for repentance. I pray, God, that our country would repent, that Christians everywhere, Lord, would take to heart this very text that we're in today, Lord, and that they would not rely on their own wisdom. They wouldn't rely on their own directions, Lord, but they would seek you with their whole heart, Lord. And that they would be drawn back to you, Father. All of those that we're praying for, I know there are bunches of them in this room, Lord, that we are all praying for someone, at least one someone, and many of us praying for a number of someones, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would do a mighty work in their lives, that you would bring them to repentance, Lord, that you would bring them to a place of recognizing their need for a Savior, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence, and please speak your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have the New Living Testament and the one with Wiersbe's notes in it? Okay. Okay. Well, actually, in that particular Bible, the New Living Testament, with the notes by Warren Wiersbe, I looked at that to see what he had to say on this particular portion of the text, and it's so good, I thought it was important to read it just as it sits there on the page. So, never have there been so many tools available for serious Bible study, and we are grateful for them. But, however, the Word of God is unlike any other book. We must be on good terms with the author if we are to learn from what He has written. Our relationship to the Lord is determined by our relationship to His will, and that is determined by how we relate to His Word. Too many believers have only academic head knowledge of the Word, but they do not know how to put this knowledge into practice in the decisions of daily life. What we all need is a heart knowledge of the Word. And this means being taught by God. So I couldn't have put that in a better way. That's a synopsis of this whole portion of our text that we're dealing with today. And so we get right into it, that we would have a heart knowledge of the Word, because we are being taught by the greatest teacher of all. We are being taught by the greatest teacher of all. And so we start with verse 97. Picking up from where we were last week, oh, how I love your law. Again, in the New Living Testament, it said, oh, how I love your instructions. Isn't that good? Oh, how I love your instructions. Do you love his instructions? Are we people who sometimes, we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. And we don't really care who it is. We just don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't love God's instruction. And sometimes his instruction might be something that we really don't want to do or we don't want to hear. Maybe we just don't want to hear what he has to say. But this text says, "Oh, how I love your instruction. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." A true believer loves God's instructions. As true believers, we love God's instruction. We live God's word as if we couldn't live without it. Do we live God's word as if we couldn't live without it? That's a question that we have to answer. To some, it could be just an outward appearance of that they're walking with the Lord, they're loving God's law, but a true child of God finds God's word to be our food, to be our medicine, to be our life, to be our light, to be our comfort, our very life itself. And I can't live without it. I remember reading that Kay Smith said, prayer, I can't live without prayer. Those were Kay Smith's words. I can't live without prayer. I can't live without prayer, and I can't live without God's word. Those two things are necessities in my life and in the life of a believer. Why is it that we love God's law? It means that I'm not what I used to be. Is anybody happy that you are not what you used to be? I am so happy that I am not what I used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. And we have his law, his instruction that leads us to that. The whole word is light and love and wisdom and faithfulness in our lives. Psalm 1:2, my meditation is on your law all the day. Is our meditation on the law or on the instruction of God all day long? Is that what we think about all day long? I don't think I'm alone in this, but there is one thing that is every time I stop for a moment, that thing is on my mind. That particular thing is on my mind. And what we need to do with that particular thing that's on my mind, it needs to be meditation in the Word of God. That needs to be the thing that when I stop everything else that I'm doing, that's the thing I'm going to go to, is the Word of God, and because I've hidden it in my heart. If this is true of us, when it's not in our hand, when this Bible is not in our hand and we have meditated on the Word, we have hidden it in our heart. And so we are prepared at any time. We're prepared when Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door because we have hidden God's Word in our heart. We don't even have to have a Bible in hand because we know that God has all of the answers and he will bring to our remembrance whatever we have need of. The habit of love for God's word and meditation on it all the day will influence my whole character, giving even more love for his word. It's going to influence my whole character. It's going to give me even more of a love for the word. Sometimes, you know, you go to the Bible and you start reading and you're not there. Does that happen to anybody else? And you're just not there. You're just not there. And we have to ask God, Lord, would you instruct me right now? Because I want to be all here. I love what Bethany has on her phone. I don't know if she still has it on there, but is it wherever you are, be all there. And that's what we need to do. Wherever we are with the Lord, we need to be all there and make sure that we are all there. And we delight, the more we read it, the more we begin to delight in the Word of God. Now, verses 98 through 100, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Sounds very arrogant. For your testimonies are my delight, are my meditation. That's why I have greater understanding. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. This is talking about David here and the knowledge through the meditation of the love of God's word. David was wiser than his enemies in his subtlety. He was wiser than his enemies in the way that he just kind of slipped through situations. He was not in the place that Saul thought he should be at that particular time. So he was wiser than his enemies in his subtlety. He was wiser than all of his teachers in his doctrine. And he was wiser than the ancients in experience. Why? Because he loves the law of the Lord. Because he loves the instruction of the Lord. And he wants to continue on in that. Note that it's through God's commandments that we are wiser, not just an ordinary means of being wiser. This is supernatural means. This is by God himself who instructs us. He knew God, and we need to know God in that intimate way, in the same way that David did. To be effectively taught of God, we have to be in his word daily. I know this goes without saying. We say that. It goes without saying that we need to be in the word of God every day. And yet, is that a struggle for anyone else? To be in the word of God every day. We make time, again, we've talked about this before, we need to make our appointment with God in the morning. At 6 o'clock or at 7 o'clock or whatever it is, we make our appointment and we show up for that appointment. And we're there when God wants us to be there, and we hear what he has to say. We rest in him. We seek counsel in his word. And it is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, 2 Timothy 3:15. It is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith. Our prayer is for humility of mind and simplicity of faith. Humility of mind and simplicity of faith. That's what I want. I want humility of mind. I don't want to think for a moment that I'm doing something all on my own, because all on my own, I mess up every single thing I touch. And that is the honest truth. And it may look good for a little time, but I will see before long that I was the one that messed everything up. So humility of mind and that simplicity of faith. That's why the Lord has given us that word simplicity throughout this whole year for the women's ministry. That's why our luncheon is called Simply Unique. Our retreat was had simplicity in it. It had some kind of... Live simply, live purely. Yes, that was the retreat. And then our spring luncheon was also had something about simplicity in it. I think it was called Simplicity. It was so simple we forget. Yes, so that is the word. I want that simplicity of the faith, because we need the simplicity of the gospel. And why are we calling this year's luncheon, why are we calling it Simply Unique? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, unique Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is a unique Son. Our decorations are going to be snowflakes, because every snowflake is different. Not any of them are exactly the same. Everything is different. And Jesus Christ is the only unique Son of God by which we get salvation. And so we need to remember that. So we want to pray for humility of mind, simplicity of faith, that we would be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect, that we would be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Isaiah 35:8 and Timothy 3:17. So seeking our wisdom from the word of God gives us the best counselor, who is the very best teacher we could ever have. The very best teacher we could ever have. And he tells us what to do and what to expect. But obedience as well as meditation. Oh, that word? Obedience as well as meditation is all part of it. We have to walk in that obedience. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. I consumed them, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I've got to admit, with as crummy as things have been going for the last few days and this morning, Bethany talks to me about it. I pace in the back while she's doing worship. I'm pacing back there and praying and just kind of getting ready. And there was a joy that came in my heart that I was just like, oh, I love your word. I love your word. And there was that joy and rejoicing in my heart that may have been missing over the last couple of days. I am glad to have it back. I am glad to have that joy unspeakable and full of his glory. So Psalm 63, 5 and 6, my soul will be satisfied and my mouth shall praise you. When my soul is satisfied, my mouth will praise you with joyful lips, with that joy and excitement. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Are we meditating on him when we wake up at night? Are we praying for people? I know there are a number of us that we wake up how many times during the night, and where we wake up really, really, really early in the morning and there's something that we have to do. How many of us, that's the first thing we're thinking about. We meditate on his word. We get it to be a part of us. And 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. David's wisdom was practical, and it taught him to keep God's word. To be able to do this, we have to refrain from the evil ways. It kind of makes sense when you talk about it, but when we're thinking about it, maybe it doesn't make as much sense to us. But we have to remove our foot from the evil way. We are to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Romans 7:9. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Don't even look like you're doing it. Make sure that you don't even look like you're doing something that would stumble someone else. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh in Jude 23. Pulling someone else out of the fire and hating the very sin that they are doing. Not hating them, but the sin. Ask God to search me, to try me, to see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 24. Ask the Lord to lead us and to search my heart. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. In order to keep the word of God, there must be a separation from sin. We can't do it on our own, but God's power of grace gives us the strength to refrain from the sin. God gives us the power to refrain from sin. God, I'm so weak, I can't do it. What does the word of God say? In my weakness, he's made strong. And he will give me all the strength I have to say no. When I was a new Christian, there was a guy in my life who just, he was so bad news, but he was so cute. And he was, and it wasn't Bill. This was pre-Bill. So, he was so cute, and he was so charming, yes. And I remember sitting at my desk one day and saying, Lord, don't ever let me see Dave again. I don't ever want to see Dave again, because I knew he was manipulative. That was the word. And so when he would say something, I would go, no, oh, yeah, okay. You know, and so I was asking God, I don't want to fall in this area. I don't want to go with this person. And so just don't ever let him get in touch with me again. That afternoon, he called me and he asked me out. And so I, okay. But the Lord gave me the strength to refrain from sin, because Dave ended up being led to the Lord by Bill. So isn't that just so cool? I knew Bill at that time, but Bill and I weren't seeing each other. So is that not just amazing? I prayed a certain way, and God had a different plan. But he gave me the strength, and he let me know that he's going to give me the strength to not sin. He's the one who gives me that strength. In my weakness, he's made strong. We have the great privilege of keeping God's word. We have a privilege of keeping God's word. That is a privilege in our lives. Sin is slavery. Most of us know that. So seek to abide within a constant view of Calvary, because sin will live everywhere but under the cross of Jesus. Sin will live everywhere except under the cross of Jesus. And so looking to Jesus, may I have light and grace. And so I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me that teaching from above is the light of life. John 5:12, it gives us the principles to make use of that light. It makes us want to learn more and gives us the grace to obey. Trusting in man is departing in our heart from the Lord. Trusting in man is departing from our heart, in our heart from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. I will never give up sin simply by the influence of human persuasion. Just because I talk myself out of it for this moment, I don't know. I will not depart from the Lord as long as I have in my heart that he is my teacher. He is the one that teaches me, as long as I remember that. John 6:45, and we're drawn to him. And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. If you have heard and learned from the Father, you will come to me. And his teaching will abide in me. 1 John 2:24, his teaching will abide in me. But there are areas that will cause us not to abide. They will cause us to kind of move out for some length of time. All of us know people who have done this sort of thing. Neglecting private prayer is one of the main things that gets us to that place where we are not abiding with the Lord. We're not talking to him. That private prayer, not when you're with your group of people, but just that time when you're with the Lord, just the two of you together, neglecting private prayer, having no appetite for the sincere word. Having no appetite for the sincere word. Relaxing of diligence. Oh, I was following the Lord so close, and then I just kind of, I let go of the prayer, and then I kind of wasn't reading my Bible. Now, just reading your Bible is not going to do it. You know, being the sincere word of God. And then, so relaxing in my diligence, and then a loss of a savor for godliness. A loss of a savor for godliness. Are you willing to allow him to use his correction on you to keep you from departing from his judgments? Restrain my feet, Lord, from perpetual backsliding. Bridges says, neither grace received, nor experience attained, nor engagements regarded will secure me for one moment without continual teaching from the Lord. Nothing else will do it. That continual teaching of the Lord. In 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. If you taste it, you will see that it's good. How sad of those who they've heard, they have read, they've understood the word of God, yet they've never tasted of the goodness of the Lord. They've never allowed it to get into that sweetness. They've never tasted that sweetness. 1 Peter 2:2-3, if so be we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow by it. The word gives us peace, it gives us holiness, it gives us joy, it gives us support, it gives us rest far beyond the power of man to give to us. There is nothing that man can give to us that is exactly the same. As you become more spiritually healthy, the word will be increasingly sweet to you. Now, when I was losing weight back there, I found some of it. But when I was losing weight, I was in a place where I had stopped eating anything sweet. And so it didn't take long before a dragon fruit began to taste sweet to me, because all the phony sugar was gone. And then I was able to taste the sweetness that was just a little bit there. Other people couldn't pick it up, but I could pick up that sweetness because I had put away the other stuff that was counterfeit. That counterfeit sweetness was no longer there. And so, verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Having learned the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we shall go on to perfection, Hebrews 6:1, growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. That's 2 Peter 3:18. When we listen to him, we do it right, and we abide in his light, and we have the kind of walk that has that springing up, that excitement in our lives as we listen to him. And looking back retrospectively on my life, I wish I had never lived that way. But it is shameful the way that I lived before I knew the Lord, and it brings to this day, there are things that will come up. I don't live that way anymore because God has taught me, and I have listened to his word, and I am changed into his likeness because of accepting him. Sin looks like a treasure, but it proves to be glittering trash. Sin looks like a treasure, but it proves to be glittering trash. Burdensome instead of enriching, only leaving us to the pain of disappointed hope. Leading us to the pain of a disappointed hope. I've hoped in something that has let me down. By the grace of God, I shall resist to the end, Hebrews 12:4. I don't want to simply restrain my sin. I want it to be mortified. When I was eating right, there were days where I just said, I can't have that right now. That's how I got through the day of something that I wanted to eat. Well, I can't have that right now. Now, I knew that for the rest of my life, I can't have that. But to get through that day, I had to tell myself, I can't have that today, just today, because I can just live today. I don't want to be worrying about tomorrow. You know that scripture that says, in Matthew, I think I probably already told you this, but the with the tomorrow having enough worries of its own, the translation on that particular part of it is, it is translated, don't start worrying about tomorrow. Don't start worrying about tomorrow. We get through today. So today I am going to mortify the sin in my life. Today, I can do that with God's help. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow, because tomorrow has, I'm not going to start worrying about tomorrow. I know that God will be there with me. So I want that old sin to be like Paul. I want to be completely done with it. I want it to be like Paul as he shook off the snake in the fire. Remember? Get it out of here. Can you just see him as he was doing it? How dare you? You know, I used to hitchhike, and I don't know how this fits into anything, but I used to hitchhike, and there was this guy who was not going to let me out of his car.
Oh, no.
And I don't know where it came from. I know it was the hand of God, but it made me so mad that he wasn't going to let me out of his car. You let me out of this car right now. You open that door. And he grabbed my hand. You take your hand right off of me. And I got out of the car and I just stood there. Get out of here. And I was like, where did that come from? But it was the grace of God. And how did that put it? Putting it off just like that. I want to put off sin just like that. Who do you think you are, Satan, that you can tempt me in that? Oh, no, you did not. You are not going to do it, not this time, because I have learned of the Lord, and I'm meditating on his word, and I will walk in his ways, and that's all I have to say about that. And so in our eye, when you have something, some little thing in your eye, don't you just, it hurts all the time, and you want to get rid of it right away. You want it to be out of there. In the same way, may my conscience be that sensitive of the slightest touch of sin in my life. May my life, my conscience, be that sensitive to the slightest touch of sin that would grieve my Father in heaven, to hate every false way so as to flee from it and be done with it. Lord, turn my eyes, my heart, my feet, my ways more and more to yourself. Shed around your love in my heart, that sin may be the daily matter of my watchfulness, my grief, my resistance, and my crucifixion. Because I don't want to walk in that way. I don't want to disappoint my Father in heaven. I don't want to disappoint him. If we so 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And that is the lamp description, which we've talked about before, that lamp that you can only hold out in front of you, can only hold it, see the next step ahead of you. That light has to be lit. That's the important thing. That light has to be lit. And accept the teaching of the Spirit accompanying the word. But accept the lamp be lighted, accept the teaching of the Spirit accompanying the word. All is darkness, thick, thick darkness. That's the way it is. If we paid more attention to receiving and wanting to improve the light, we should not so often complain of the darkness of our path. If we would put more time into making sure that the light is on, we wouldn't be so complaining about how hard life is and how dark it is on our way. God says we can be sure of it. You know the illustration about the car lights as you're driving in the dark. You only can see as far as your car lights go, and yet you travel the whole distance that way. And so God says, Joshua 1:5, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Oh, that I would be able to make use of this lamp to direct every single step. Verse 106, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I will keep your righteous judgments. The guidance of the Lord's word naturally strengthens our resolve to walk in him. It is a natural response to his word. There shall be no but one will between me and God, and that will shall be his and not mine. There is one will between me and God, and it's not mine, it is his. And I will continue in that. 2 Timothy 2:21, oh, that I may be a vessel for the Lord, for the Lord's use. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. We've said a lot of stuff about this affliction thing, but I just want to say one short thing about it. The stones of the spiritual temple can't be polished or put into place without a chisel and a hammer being put to it. The gold can't be purified without the furnace, and the vine has to be pruned for greater fruitfulness. That's just the way it works. We don't go through those kind of trials to please God. It doesn't change God. It's not for his pleasure, but it is for our profit. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. In Genesis 41:52, what happens with those trials? For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. What that affliction came up. I can look back at the times when I was in the worst affliction of my life, and I can see what God has done through it and for it, and I am a better for it. And so 108, so he has revived me. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. No offering, but a free will offering is accepted. That's the way it was under the law in Numbers 29, and it is also under the gospel in Romans 12:1, 2 Corinthians 5:14, and 15. What is a free will offering? A free will offering is the overflowings of a heart filled with love. The overflowings of a heart filled with love. And verse 109, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. When our life is constantly in danger, there's safety, there's security in remembering the law of the Lord, because we've meditated in it. The tendency for us is, when we're in a tough place, is to panic. I remember when Kay Smith talked about her and her family being in Israel at a time when there was an uprising of some sort, And her daughter was on one side and she was on the other side. And they were going to keep her from getting to her daughter. No, you don't get between Kay and her kids. And she let them know right then and there. She didn't panic. She just said, my daughter's over there and I'm going to get her. And that's what God says to us. My daughter's over there and I'm going to get her. We can trust him. In Acts 20, 23 and 24, Paul had witnessed the Holy Spirit in every city that he was going to be bound, that he was going to jail. But he said, none of these things move me. I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Christ. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel continued to kneel on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he always had, even though they told him you can't do it. And then what happened when he went into the den of lions, further on in chapter 6, it was far less fearful in his eyes than one step from the straight path. A lion's den was far less fearful in his eyes than to stray away from the Lord. I want to walk that way. He was the one who said that I have not strayed from your precepts. Okay. Verse 11, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. This precious Bible, what a treasure. This book is precious to me, and I'm sure that it's precious to you. This book contains our heritage. What is our heritage? It is our birthright. What do we have? We are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means, and Pastor Bill talked about it on Sunday, it means that we have everything that Jesus has. It's not a dividing up after a funeral, after someone in the family dies, and would you like this piece of furniture? You get the, mom said, you get this thing, and you get this other thing. No, it was, I get that piece of furniture, and I get that thing, and I get that thing, and I get that thing. It's all mine, and it's all yours. We have everything that Christ has, that we are joint heirs with him. 1 Peter 1:24, when all earthly heritage shall have passed away, mine endures forever. Mine endures forever. This heritage is precious. We are heirs of the promise, and which we just talked about, the joint heirs with Christ. In Hebrews 6, 17 and 18, in the New Living Testament, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. That's the heritage that we have. This heritage has an enduring character forever. The glittering that we talked about, the glittering emptiness of this passing life, it's nothing in comparison. So let the recalling of the rich heritage of light and comfort and peace and strength given in the word be my abundant joy. I want that to be my joy. Bind my heart closer to the Lord. And in verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I have inclined my heart, not my eye, not my ear, not my tongue, but with the heart. Because Proverbs 4:23, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. God looks on the heart. I've inclined my heart to perform his statutes forever to the very end of my life. That's my design, and in my weakness, again, he's strong. Weak indeed are our purposes and fading our resolutions, unsupported by divine grace. Yet renewing strength is given to the waiting Christian. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 11:31. We are very conscious of the fact that without Christ, we can do nothing. And that's true, but true also is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do this, ladies. John 15:5. It's God's power that supported the first step in our course, and he has pledged to every successive step of difficulty. Hebrews 10:23. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. We can trust him. We are confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me is able to complete it, and he will complete it in us, Philippians 1:6, and to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so he will be with us. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you're saying, the work that you're doing. And Lord, cause us to be women that meditate on your word. Make that time for daily prayer. Make that time for daily reading of your word and studying your word and having all of it, Lord, to be put in a place that is just so close to you, Lord, that no matter what our situation, I keep remembering Corrie Ten Boom as I think about these situations, Lord, when it was hard. It was hard to have faith in those times. It was hard in those places, Lord, where the lice was there. And yet they saw in that affliction, Lord, they saw that you were in it because it kept the guards out of the room. And they taught others of you, Lord. Father, we want to follow you, always follow you. We always want to trust you, Lord. We always want to give you all that we are without hanging on to anything of ourselves, Lord. We don't want to give in to the way that man says that we ought to be doing things. But we want to meditate on your law. Meditate on your instructions. We want to listen to you, Lord. And we want to move in the way that you tell us to move. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And we need to make sure that that light is on. That we are walking with you, Lord. And I thank you for these ladies, Lord. Strengthen all of us to continue to walk with you and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.